So Lech Lecha, huge number of ideas here. Tell a few things. So the first pasuk Lech Lecha, the Torah, Rashi says Lehanascha, for your pleasure, Letovascha, for your benefit. Lecha, for you, Avram, you're going to Eretz Yisrael for your benefit. What does that mean? Rashi says Eschol Goy Gadol V'chan Iyat HaZochel Lebanim. Here you weren't Zochel to kids. So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that when you Mishana your Makom and go to Eretz Yisrael, so that's what helped Abraham be Zochel. He didn't have kids for so many decades, and then he was Zochel to have a child. So being Mishana Makom and going to Eretz Yisrael is what allows you to have kids. My Rebbe, Rav Shechter Shlita, when he got married, he didn't have kids for a couple of years. So he didn't move to Israel, but one summer he visited Eretz Yisrael, and he said part of the reason they visited was to hope that even visiting here, even though they weren't living here, even visiting here, the schus of visiting Eretz Yisrael would give them that added schus of maybe having kids. And now they have 9 children. So that was part of it. The other part of it was, what was the other part of it? That who gave him a bracha when he came here for children? Who gave him a bracha? What's the famous story? The stipur with the learning. Very good. The stipur gave him a bracha for children. Anyway, so if, living in Eretz Yisrael is a good thing for that. Next, Hashem changes Avram's name to Avraham. That goes on in this week's parsha. Look in Rashi. Same Rashi. Pasuk Aleph. The end of Rashi he says, Arach Shev Shimcha Avram. Mikan ve'elach Avraham, ve'Avram Ola Masayim Arba'im Lushmona 248. The gematria of Avraham is 248, which is the same gematria as the Ramach Levarav, the number of parts of a man's body. So what's the message? Right. So what's the message? The message is that once Avraham does the mitzvah of Bris Milah, he is now complete. So the message is he's fully kadosh. His name represents his entire body is fully kadosh now. 248. It's a very nice idea in Rashi that the name of Avraham is the gematria of all the parts of the body. Avraham now is fully kadosh. Okay, good. Next, Pasuk Hey, world famous Maimer Chazal. It says in Pasuk Hey, "V'hanefesh asher asu b'charan," that when they went to Eretz Yisrael, what did they take with them? Their families and all of the people they made in Charan. Who they? What do you mean? What do you mean to make someone? What do you mean? Oh, so here's the famous Rashi: "Sheichnisum tachas kanfei Ashchina." They were mekarev them to monotheism. Avram megayeres ha'anashim, v'sar megayeres ha'anashim. Avram the men. And Sarah, here's the punchline. Umala aleim akasuf ki'ilu aso. As if you made them. In other words, it's just asher asu. They didn't make them. They were living people before. But when you makarif someone and bring them back, you're making them into a new person, a new ruchnias person. And it's like they made them. Asher asu b'chara. This is a big deal. If you have an influence on someone, it's like you created them. It's amazing. And then you get partial schar for whatever is accomplished later. This is a big topic, that how life works out there. If you help someone take a step forward, then whatever impact you have on that person, then whatever else that person accomplishes, you get partial credit. You got it? You got it? This we have in our davening. What's that called? Zoreya Stukos. You know in our davening we say Zoreya Stukos? Remember that phrase? Where is that phrase? Who knows where the phrase is? Zoreya Stukos?
It's really not
in our I don't think so. It's in the first bracha of the Birchos Kriyashma. Yotzer Ma'oros. Polo Gvuros Osa Chadashos Baal Mechamos Zoreya Tzedakos. Hashem plants righteousnesses. What does that mean? So the Mefarshim say it means as follows. They quoted here, I think, in the Aruch Kosidah. God does not merely reward man for his good deeds, He awards him even for the chain reaction that results from human kindness. Thus, an act of kindness is like a seed that can produce luxuriant vegetation. When you help someone, you do a chesed for someone, the Chofetz Chaim talks about this, you get all the ripple effect schar for that thing. So that is highlighted by the phrase asu b'charon, they made them. So even though when Tony Makari, if you help someone ruchnius, it affects them. So that's Zoreya Tzadkos. So I'll just tell you one story, then we'll get started, because it's actually late. So here's the story, and then we'll start. I heard this story from Beryl Wine, actually. So the story goes that there was a there was an Orthodox family that lived in a town in the Midwest. I think he said Detroit. Sorry. Let's start again. There was a firm lawyer in Detroit, an Orthodox lawyer, I think in Detroit. And there was a judge there, a Jewish judge, in the court in Detroit. And he wasn't religious. And this lawyer was trying to makarev this judge. He tried this, he tried that, nothing worked. Then he got him into Rav Beryl Wine's history tapes. Rav Beryl Wine has like a couple of thousand tapes. Now I'm sure it's on CD, I'm sure it's on the internet, where he goes through all of Jewish history. And he has a way of talking, and he throws in Yiddish phrases, very pleasant to listen to. My mother, she lived well. My mother once got into his things, and she listened to like 500. She's holding in a lot of Jewish history because of Rav Beryl Wine. So this judge fell in love with, you know, Beryl Wine's tapes. He wanted to meet Beryl Wine. So the lawyer called Beryl Wine and said, "Can you come for a dinner at this judge's house?" And they had a kosher catered dinner at the home of a federal judge. I think it was in Detroit, in honor of Beryl Wine. So who's the federal judge's friends? You know, the head of the police, you know, big people, the editors of the newspaper, you know, people that are famous in Chashuv. So the editor of one of the newspapers said to Rabbi Wine, are you an Orthodox Jew? He said, yes. So let me tell you a story. Here's the story. So this is the story told by the editor of one of the newspapers. He said there was an Orthodox family in Detroit, and I think in the 50s, and they lived in a very pleasant, you know, religious street, and they had to go on, and they were going on vacation, and there's an immigrant from Ireland came to America, ended up in Detroit, and she was hired, an Irish immigrant, as a nanny in this family's home. She's working in the house. She started like in November, and the family's going on vacation, so they asked her, you know, you watch the house, you know, taking the mail, you know, when you're out of your house, you want someone there, take the mail in, you know, taking the newspapers, people don't think that you're out, you know, it's safer if someone's in the house. So they went on vacation, they're gone for 2 weeks, and then she noticed on the calendar, this Irish immigrant, that they're coming back on December 24th, Erev Yom Tov, Erev Xmas, and nothing's being planned in the house. And she felt so bad that here they are, nothing's going to be planned. So she decided to make a big Xmas spread, and she bought the tree. She put up the lights in the front. And so picture, this is a very Orthodox neighborhood, and she planned this Xmas event, the whole thing on their front lawn. Looked a little strange. And then she had the lights going on, so there's a whole machlokas. You turn the lights on at shkir or at seis, whatever. Anyway, so she puts the lights on, and the family comes back. They come home on Christmas Eve, Xmas Eve, and they see in their house. Imagine this is your house in your street, and they're coming home, and they see this Xmas spread on their lawn in their house. So the kids are going crazy. They're so embarrassed. Again, nowadays this would never happen, because nowadays someone would take a picture, you know, send an email, you know, okay. But back then, so they come into the house, the family's going crazy, and the father calls the nanny into the kitchen privately, and says to her, takes out $100 bill. That's a lot of money now. It's a lot of money back in the 50s. And he said, here's a bonus. I want to give you extra bonus for your efforts. You wanted to make, you know, make our lives better. You put a lot of effort into this. But this is not our religion. You have to take it all down. He didn't yell at her. He didn't give a musser. He was calm. And he could have really, you would say, you know, ripped into her and, you know, gone crazy. So that's what he did. So he had self-control. He gave her the bonus and she took it all down. So the editor of the newspaper said that my newspaper always takes a pro-Jewish, pro-Israel slant because that woman is my mother. And she told me to always treat Jews properly because of what that guy did to her. So that's the Reatz Dakel. So this guy did a completely anonymous, private act of good midos. And because of that, a newspaper affects people's opinions, it affects voting. So you have tens of thousands of people for several decades have a pro-Israel slant on the world because of one private act of good midos. You got it? That's the way it stuck us. And you never know, and that's going to be, you're that guy. And you're meeting someone and talking to someone, you never know. And that's amazing. And her son became the editor of the newspaper. Anyway, so that's Asu Bukharon. When you have that impact, all the additional things that happen are on your scorecard. You got it? It's a good story. That's called Zoreya Tzedakos. And you never know. You meet someone, you smile at them, you talk to them the right way. That was meeting a non-Jew, right? Same thing applies to Jewish people. Where this coming Shabbos is the big Shabbos project around the world. You know that whole thing, the big Kiruv Shabbos? It's amazing. It's going to be in we'll talk about it in Rav Shemesh. We're having a big thing right in our shul. It's a big deal. So you never know. And that is an expression of Asher Asu Bukharan. Okay. There's more to say, but we'll have to stop here for now.
Yud Gimel, Pasuk Gimel, says, Vayelech L'masa'av, he proceeded on his journeys. What do you mean, Masa of his journeys? Rashi explains that when Avram went back from Mitzrayim to Canaan, he would stay overnight in the same inns, in the same achsonios that he stayed in when he went down. Why? So Rashi here says, to teach you Derech Eretz, Shelo Yishan Adam Achson Yashelo, that a person shouldn't change his lodgings to a different one. Why not? So the art scroll Rashi quotes from the Achronim that one should not change where he stays, for the change might be viewed as an expression of the traveler's dissatisfaction with the lodgings and the host's dissatisfaction with the traveler. In other words, you don't want to cause people to think negatively unnecessarily. Why'd you switch? What happened? So unless there's a good reason, you should stay in the same place. Then Rashi quotes Dover Acher, Bechazaroso, Para HaKafosov. He paid his debts. On the way down to Mitzrayim, Yaakov had no money. And he couldn't pay for his lodgings. He paid on the way back. So we see here an important idea to pay back your debts as soon as you can. Bezrat Hashem will be discussing this more. That Avram was very careful with Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. My Rebbe, Rabbi Einemer Zatzal, he had clean hands. As soon as he was able to, he paid back his debts. We'll have more examples of that, actually right now, in the next Rashi. In Pasuk Zayin, Vayiri Bein Roy Mikne Avram Vayiri Roy Mikne Lot. There was a fight between Avram's shepherds and Lot's shepherds. What was the fight about? About Gezel. Lot would let his cattle graze in other people's fields. Avram said, no, you can't do that. Ala Gezel. And so Lot's shepherds would say, no, the land was given to Avram and he doesn't have any other inheritors, and Lot's going to inherit, so therefore it's like it's not Gezel because he's going to own it eventually. But it's not true. Maybe he'll own it eventually, but right now he doesn't own it. It's Gezel. So again, this was Avram, very careful with Ben Adam, L'chaveiro, very careful with Gezel. Oh. Then the Psukim discuss Lot. And Lot made the tragic mistake to choose to go to Sodom and leave Avram Avinu. The Pasuk describes in Pasuk Yud, Lot saw the Kikar HaYarden, the plain of Yarden, Kula Mashke, it was watering, it was fertile. And he chose to go to Sodom because he felt he could make money there. And again it says, Lot in Pasuk Yud Beis, Lot was Yashav Ba'arei HaKikar. That's emphasized several times. Oh. And the Pasuk says in Yugimel, Anshe Sodom were Roim, they were bad. And Rashi says, V'af al pichein, lo nimna lot mirishkoni mayim. Lot didn't hold back. They were Rishoim, but Lot went there for the money, and Lot chose the money over his Ruchni's grounding with Avram Avinu. And Rashi quotes a powerful medrash here, back in Pasuk Yud Aleph. It says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayisa Lot Mikedem, and Lot journeyed from the east. It's a hard word to translate. So Rashi gives one pshat, then he gives an agada. Mikedem means Mikadmono Shel Olam, from the forerunner of the world, from Hashem. Amar Yevshilo Ba'Avram Velo Be'Elokov. I don't want him, or I don't want his God. Lot was with Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was his Ruchnius connection to Ruchnius, his connection with Hashem. And Lot was drawn by the appeal of the Gashmish of Sodom, and he left Avram Avinu. The tragic error. Rav Yaakov Katz Shlita, who was a Rosh Kollel in Netiv Aryeh, says Lot's a model for us to not to make that mistake. A person's in yeshiva and then he's going to get involved in going to university, making a parnasa. He has to make sure that when he gets involved in making a parnasa, he does not repeat the mistake of Lot and choose the money over his ruchni, his bearings. He has to stay connected to whatever his connection is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to Ruchnius. Very, very, very important idea. I discuss this in my Sefer on Brachos. I basically say over Rav Katz's Mahalach on Lot, the tragic fall of Lot, that he chose the Gashmius and the money of Sodom over the Ruchnius of Avraham Avinu. People sometimes go out to make a parnasa. You go to college. But you have to make sure that your choice to go to college and make a parnasa doesn't come at the expense of your ruchnius. Very, very important lesson. Be'ez Rosh Hashem will discuss that more in Parshas Vayera, how Rav Katz connects this idea to Lot being saved when Sodom is actually destroyed. Okay. Let's continue. Vayavo ha-palit. Perek yudalit, pasuk yudgimel. And the palit came, the fugitive. He came to tell Avram Avinu that Lot was taken captive. Who was this palit? It was Og. Rashi says that he escaped from the war. Rashi goes on, he also escaped from other things. He escaped from the Mabul as well, Polimidor HaMabul. Og lived a long time. Og survived the Mabul, and Og now was surviving the war. He comes to tell Avram Avinu that Lot is in trouble. Why? Rashi says, Umiskaven sheyehareg Avram. He was hoping Avram would die while he's trying to save Lot. V'yisa es Sarah, and then he Lot, and then he Og could marry Sarah. Amazing. This was Og's intention. Why is this amazing? Because this Rashi is referred to again much later in the Chumash, when Moshe Rabbeinu is leading Bnei Yisrael and he's going to attack Og, Og Melech HaBashan. It said he was afraid. The Pasuk implies Moshe was afraid. Well, how does it imply? Because the Pasuk says, Al Tira Oso. Hashem told Moshe, don't be afraid. So Moshe was afraid, and Hashem had to warn him, soothe him in a sense, don't be afraid. Why was Moshe afraid of Og? He wasn't afraid of Sichon. Why was he afraid of Og? So Rashi says, because Moshe was afraid of the zechus that Og had, that he helped to save Lot when he told Avram that Lot was in trouble. That's what Rashi says. Incredible. That was Og's zechus? We would say it was an aveira. That Og's kavana was so horrible, we would call that an aveira. And yet, in the end, Lot was saved. So this quote-unquote mitzvah, which we call an aveira, was a zchus for Og, and he had received a lot of reward already. He had lived hundreds of years, he was the king of a big empire, and still Moshe was afraid because he had that zchus, because Og had that zchus. So what's the message for us? This is very powerful, Moshe from Avnevensal. The message is we should appreciate the value of mitzvos. If Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of the zechus that Og had from this quote-unquote non-mitzvah aveira, that's what we call it, but since somehow it did help Lot, it's still considered a mitzvah in a sense. If Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of Og's zechus for that, then how much should we appreciate mitzvos? Every mitzvah we do, the schar is incredible. We should take advantage. Jump to do the mitzvos. Wake up, Avnevensal writes in his Svarim and Dvarim, Bamidbar, wake up and appreciate the value of mitzvos. Oh, very, very beautiful idea from Avnevensal. That from this Rashi in Perek Yudal or Pasuk Yud Gimel, we should all learn the tremendous value of mitzvos, based on Moshe's fear described later in the Chumash. Okay. Oh. And finally, I want to discuss a big yesod in Hashkafa, how to view Nevuah, which I think was made famous by we have more things after this, okay, Zat Hashem, made famous by the Brisker Rav, and Reb Nevensal discusses it in his writings as well. Perek Tezvav Pasuk Yud Gimel Ki Ger Yezeracha. This is the Nevuah that Avram's descendants are going to be in trouble. They're going to be Gerim for how many years? 400 years. Okay. So it says, Vavadna Vinu Osam, they'll be enslaved 400 years. Now we know there wasn't 400 years. It was only 210 years. So Rashi explains that the 400 years are counted from when? Mishanolad Yitzchak. Oh, from the time Yitzchak was born, if you add up the years, Yitzchak was born, and then until Yosef, until Yaakov was born, and then until they went down to Mitzrayim, that was another 190 years. Added on to the 210, comes out to be a total of 400. Oh. Very nice. That's the pshat. Now that's really not the pashut pshat of the pasuk. The pasuk sounds like it's 400 years of slavery. So Reb Nevensal explains, based on the Brisker Rav, as follows. It's a big yesod. Every nevuah in Tanakh is true. However, the way the nevuah plays out might depend on our actions, and a nevuah could have more than one possible meaning. A nevuah could have more than one possible meaning. And which meaning will be actualized depends on our bechira chofshis. So here, the simple meaning was 400, but for a variety of reasons, Hashem worked it out that the 400 years of slavery. Hashem worked it out that, no, it'll be 210 years of slavery, and the 400 is counted from the time that Yitzchak was born. But really, the Parshat Shach could have happened, just based on our Bechira choice, based on how history was going to develop, it ended up being different. Rav Nemetzal quotes other examples of this. For example, it says Bnei Yisrael is going to be enslaved. Now, Sheva Levi wasn't enslaved. The pasuk here doesn't say that most of the nation will be enslaved, but not Sheva Levi. So how does that fit with the nevuah? Sheva Levi wasn't. They weren't involved in slavery. They didn't have to do the avoda. So Rav Nemetzal likes to quote from the Zohar. The Zohar says that Sheva Levi fulfilled b'chomer u'b'levenim, the hard work of chomer u'b'levenim, of the mortar and the bricks, with kal b'chomer and libun halacha, with their learning. Sheva Levi fulfilled the amelus of the shibud through their limud Torah. Hashem said the Jews are going to be oppressed, they're going to have to work very, very hard. So for most of Bnei Israel, the hard work was with physical labor. But Sheva Levi was zocha that they fulfilled the hard work through kal v'chomer and libun halacha. It's an excellent example of this yisod. He has other examples as well, Rav Nevinsol. This is a major yisod. Every nevuah is true, but every nevuah could have more than one possible outcome that fits in the words, and which outcome plays out will depend on our bechira and our choices. It's a major yisod in Torah Hashkafa. Perek Tes Zayin Pasuk Yud Beis. When I was in high school, my Rebbe, Rabbi Hayat Shlita, pointed out the Targum Unculus. The Torah says Yishmael was going to be born. Vuya Pera Adam Yado Bakol V'Yad Kolbo, which translates in his hand is in everything, and everyone's hand is against him. So Rashi gives one shot what it means. So the Unculus says, Hu yehei tzarich l'kola, v'yada d'kol b'nei anasha yutzrichin la. When it says yado b'kol means he will need everyone, he will be looking for handouts for everyone, his hand looking for everyone for handouts, and everyone else will need him. Strange. How could it be that he needs everyone, everyone else needs him? So Rabbi Hayat said, that's the Arabs. Everyone needs the Arabs for their oil. And the Arabs and everyone else need the rest of the world for everything else. Their countries never developed properly as far as, you know, providing their own food and things like that. So mamish, what the uncle says, pshat of Yishmael, we see played out exactly with the Arab world. The whole world needs them. Yod etzakol b'nei anasha tzvichin la, because of the oil. And who yates are chukula, and they need the rest of the world for everything else except for the oil, because their countries never progressed and developed in a proper way to provide for themselves. It's an amazing, beautiful, direct nevuah that we find in Unculus regarding Yishmael, regarding the Arabs. Okay, we'll stop here for Parshas Lech Lecha.